Hey, Rockstar! Welcome! This is a storytelling platform designed to empower you to build yourself up physically, spiritually, mentally, socially, and financially. Why stories? Because stories live on. They are eternal. They are a powerful reminder of what one can accomplish when opportunity presents itself. So listen carefully, learn the lessons, apply them to the big five, and become the rock star of your industry. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name is Josafat Emiliano, and this is Miguel. And you are now watching Hey Rockstar. It is everyone's favorite show. Well, everyone's favorite show on a Thursday, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. This is a story. This is a show about stories that myself and my guest, we bring to the table. Stories that are filled with value that you can take and use to help you develop the right mindset. Well, help you detach from failure, take ownership, and develop the right mindset to become the rock star of your industry. Welcome. Today is episode 65. What a grade. I was going to bring out that piece of paper to show you. But anyway, welcome back to my little studio. Now that the music's off, I might take this off. I'll leave it on for a little bit just because it looks cool. And I'm going to go take my shades because I don't really need them for this heart-to-heart solo journey we're doing today. Who knows? I might bring them back on. So let's just dive in. Let's dive in with this story. So as most of you guys know that here recently, I've been working at a school as an educator. And the fun thing is we do have the curriculum that I am given to teach to them, which is it's Spanish too for the school. And so I'm a little out of practice in at least the grammar and the rhetoric and all that fun stuff. I do know conversational Spanish. So it started off that way. It started off with me just allowing my students or creating for them a safe environment where they can practice, where they can try to grow, and also just to have someone there to help encourage them to do the work, to add more depth to their endless well of knowledge that they can, that they call the brain. But anyway, now, as of most schools, a lot of the grading, pretty much any school, the way they classify how well a student is doing has to do with the grade average that they have, or just the grade, the total grade they have at the end of the semester, or at the end of the quarter, or at the end of the year. And I say all that because a lot of my students, their grades have been going up and up. You know, for the most part, most of the ones that have been there and participating, showing up and doing the work, they are no longer in the red. They're in the passing. But I do have some students that really are very meticulous. If it goes anything lower than an A, they are quick to email me and freaking out. What happened? What can I do? How can I bring my grade back up? I'm thinking in particular one student who actually came to my office hours to do some extra credit work. He's passing. He's doing very well in my class, but he wanted to have a conversation with me just grade it, and I could see that he was kind of stressing out, that he felt that because he bombed the quiz, it dropped it down. Although he's still passing, he's still one of the highest marked in my class of students. He's got the highest grade point average in my class, but yet because he didn't fail the quiz. He actually passed the quiz, but he passed with a C plus, B minus, whatever you want to call it. It's actually more on the B than the minus. It was actually closer to the B than the C, but because it wasn't an A, he felt that he didn't do his best. And mind you, Spanish wouldn't be his second language. Spanish wouldn't be his first language or second language, and possibly not even his third language. He already speaks three other languages, and all of a sudden now he's trying to apply himself in a fourth language. So, you know, he already has so much more to bring to life, to his surroundings. However, he was still kind of bummed out, and I wanted to encourage him because I didn't want him to just give up. I didn't want him to feel like, oh, there's no point in going on with this class. And I know a lot of these students, they're in the moment, not so much in thinking on, this is a skill that's going to help me many, many moons from now. But I looked at him and I said, and I just kind of smiled, and I started thinking about one of my college professors who challenged me with that question, what's a grade? And I'm going to share the story with you all as I shared it with him. And I remember saying that, I remember one day when one of my college professors in the public speaking communications, which is what I studied, I believe it was interpersonal communications. He asked the class, what's a grade? And of course, everyone's just like, well, it's your qualifications. It's what do you, what you represents how well you're doing in this class. But he said that the grade simply is an opinion of who the professor thought we were. Now, it makes sense today, a lot more today, now that I've done a lot of inner work with me myself. But what he was trying to teach us is he set the standards. He set the quizzes. He set the boundaries by which I am judged strictly how I can abide by these boundaries. That's not who I am. That's simply how he can judge me by. Basically, his opinion of me, set, given by the standards and the testing assessments that he has placed before me. He can only judge me by those qualifications. And of course, what I bring is simply what I bring. Now here's where it kind of gets, and we're going to get a little bit deeper into this thought process, into this idea of who you are. Are you the grade? Because the truth is, a lot of students, or at least a lot of people, they judge their life by their outcome, their results. Now, don't get me wrong, you do get what you put in. But sometimes what you get is not equal to what you put in. And that's when the frustration tends to happen. But let's slow it down. Let's stick with the grade. You see, what I wonder is how many students, whenever they see that negative mark, that F, they immediately think, well, I'm a failure. I suck at this. I've heard that those words a few times. Oh, I suck at this. I even had one student, I had to correct them when they're like, I'm dumb. I'm like, no, you are not dumb. This is just something that is going to take a little more practice. It's not impossible. And I'm here to help you pass it. Because what I tell all my students is, and here's the cool thing about being the educator. Yes, we have the standards. We have the test. We have something in written form by which I can qualify have a number. Because we need a number to give to the school. So the school can give to the state. So the state can then say, all right, this school should still get so much because they're keeping it. So it's all a big business, really. Sorry, I hope I don't get in trouble for this. But basically, yes, you need to provide so many high grades. And depending on how much high grades is how much money we'll get for the following year. We're in the business of giving good grades, of squeezing out good grades for these students. However, I also don't depend strictly on what they write, what they bring, or what they write, or how they test. That's not the only way that I qualify my students. I'm also constantly walking, listening, giving them a chance to practice, even if they don't, or giving them a chance to say things out loud. Give them a chance to experience and express it. Because one of the ways that I learn, one of the best ways that I've learned on how to learn is by application. Get my hands on, try it out for myself. I might not be comfortable. Heck, I definitely am not comfortable, but I will remember that feeling. I remember that feeling when I'm just not sure I'm getting it right. But I also remember the feeling when I finally, it clicks, I nailed it, I hit it out of the park, and I say, I got that right. I still remember the first time I hit that golf, that first time we were playing golf, and I got a good, my long game is horrible. When it comes to using my irons, oh, not my irons, my woods, my drivers. When it comes to my drivers, I am not the best at just, but I remember that one time, actually it's been a few times, but I remember my best friends were with me. It was on one of our trips. I'm not sure if it was Colorado or if it was here in Gatlinburg when we went to go play golf. But I remember that one beautiful moment where it made that ping sound, and that ball flew beautifully. It went the distance and it landed on the green of all things. I was like, what? That wasn't hole in one, but it was enough for me to make it within two more hits from there. So I did it at three. I don't remember what it was. Par, birdie, I don't remember what it was, but I remember that feeling when I finally, even after not being comfortable, when I finally hit it right, bing, that's an amazing feeling. But I wouldn't have done that if I didn't experience it, if I didn't try it. And so the same thing with my students. One of my students, they did a quiz, and when they saw the results, they're like, oh my gosh, I felt like I felt like I did really well, and she actually got one of the higher grades in that quiz. And this is a girl who before then thought herself, oh, I've heard her say these words, I'm terrible at Spanish, I'm terrible at this, I'm never going to get this. And yet, with a little practice, a little confidence, she got that feeling. But of course, sorry, I'm going somewhere with all this. I don't just give them one way to test their way out, to test what they know. I also give them a chance to practice. I also have noticed, and this is amazing too, whenever another student is who, when I first got there, was not doing well in his class, was not doing well in my class, but spending time with him, giving a chance to break it down for him and helping him out. Then the other day, I was walking by, and one of his friends was just not getting it. He goes, this is hard. And that same student who earlier in the semester just was red, failing my class, now I think he's like a high B. He's about to hit an A. He's like, oh, look, this is what you do. But he explained his way. You just got to do this, 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 and he simplified it. To the point where his friend realized, oh, wait, that makes sense. And then he was able to conjugate what he needed to conjugate for the preterite tense of some of the verbs. And most of you are like, what did you just talk about? It doesn't matter. But the beauty, though, is that's when you know that you got it, when you are comfortable enough to teach someone else what you've learned. See, that's another way to learn. There's the scholastic, there's the written form, there is the visual form, there is the hands-on form, and there is the once you take it, you repeat and pass it on, pay it forward. That's another way of practicing what you learn. And I was able to give them some extra credit I forgot their markings. The system is what I'm learning. I'm having to learn this thing. I'm having to learn a whole new thing to give myself confidence so that I can do the teaching aspect of it all. And that's a lesson that I've been learning too. Because honestly, I think I failed as a teacher. Hear me out. The reason I said I failed as a teacher is because I'm just too stinking nice. I want to be the one who goes in there I'll be like Mr. Iglesias. Have you seen the show Mr. Iglesias? No, I don't want to be Mr. Iglesias. And of course, that's a whole world in and of itself, that TV world. Classroom setting, But I honestly, sincerely thought that just having the title and getting at least the respect of most of them was enough. But then there's some who they start cool and then they start kind of taking advantage of you. And I don't want to be the mean one. I don't want to be like the other teachers who they've talked bad about. But I've realized that, no, I do need to learn to discipline them, at least within the boundaries that are given to me. Discipline is not really a friendly word. Chastise them, that's not any better. But would have to hold them accountable according to the rules. And I have to learn their system of how to rectify behavior to keep these students in the line that they need to, simply because maybe they're not used to. Oh, actually, let's just be frank. Students today are we were talking a few of us teachers, like back in our day when we were in school, we didn't have it this easy, and yet we still figured it out. We learned to do it. And like, because they didn't let us fool around. They didn't let us play around. If we did, they disciplined us. I still remember getting licks. I still remember getting spanked by my coaches, by my teachers, by anything. Even one time in particular, we had a sub. And the sub wrote our names down. And I just happened to be part of the wrong crowd. I was next to someone. My first offense, but my name was on there. And because my teacher said, if your name's on this list, you are getting a lick. I was freaking out because I wasn't used to that. But I received my punishment. I received my punishment. And the next time I had a sub, I learned my lesson. I didn't repeat the offense. I love these guys. I'll talk to them after school. I will not be caught up with them if they get their names written down again. So anyway, all that to say is that I have to learn. I have to be uncomfortable and learn this process too. I have to be the mean guy. I have to be the jerk, not the jerk, but just because I do. If you do it in love, and if you do it with wisdom, you set the standards, you set the requirements, students will abide by them. And then everyone else wins. So here is my confession. I started off too lax. Of course, and you know what? I could blame it to the fact that I came in late. I know the system. You know, I hadn't learned all the stuff. I hadn't practiced things. But the truth is, I just don't like to be painted as a bad guy. But the truth be told, we're all the villain in someone else's story. And I've seen story after story. For example, Harry Potter, and I don't know why I brought him up. That professor, Snape, Snipes, whatever his name is, was mean to Harry. Was freaking mean to Harry, but as the story untold, and he went in, spoiler alert, by the way, in case you haven't seen it, but at the end, whenever he met his demise, he realized that this professor actually cared about him because Harry was the offspring of a woman that he loved or cared for dearly, something like that. Anyway, I just spoiled it for everyone who hasn't seen Harry Potter. But that's not where I'm going with this story. I want to go with, what is a grade? You see, what you put out, what you bring out, what you are labeled. A lot of people, they put their identity in their work. A lot of people, they put identity in their number. A lot of people put their identity in what they provide and what they complete. And as tempting as that is to be defined by a merit, that truly isn't who you are. But what you have been getting, the grade you have gotten, the money you are receiving, the work that you are producing, if it doesn't bring you a satisfaction, a sense of satisfaction that is you, then the beauty is that shouldn't be a limiting factor for you. You see, yes, what I bring, what I am graded on is what the professor provide for me, and that's how he defines me. It's not even my definition. It's an opinion of me, his opinion of me. And there's one thing I learned about people is that everyone has an opinion. Opinions are like buttholes. And everyone has them, and they all stink at one point or another. Sorry. I try to help and encourage my audience to do the work on themselves, to ask themselves the hard questions. What makes you happy? What brings you a sense of purpose? What gives you goosebumps? What brings peace to you? What pleasures you? Figure out that. And then you start working on your ideologies, your beliefs, and how, and then what you believe, how does that work? How do you fit into your ideology, into your beliefs? And then you start figuring out, okay, so what practices now? Now what practiologies can I use to create the disciplines to get the results that I want? Or just what is in my nature? Why do I act this way? That's a praxeology. What I think, what I hope, and sometimes we tend to get the two kind of mixed, because especially we're led too much by emotion. And now again, I am a creature of reason, but I also know the importance of having emotion. But to me, I use my emotions to help give me, to kind of set myself up, to psych myself up to do something, to do a practice that will bring positive results, realistic results. The emotion for me is simply the juice, the energy, the gas to help burn the fire of that. But anyway, I don't want to get too much into that. But let's talk about another concept of how people identify themselves. A lot of people, they tend to use money as their identifier. Oh, a friend of mine, Natalie, shout out to her, from Canada. She posted something that, I mean, she's been posting a lot of truth bombs, and I need to get her on my show here pretty soon. We've talked about the idea of getting her on here, but what did she post? She goes, something about, which was this last one that she, the one that comes to mind is how people, she gets it. Being an entrepreneur is not comfortable for everyone. Just like working all year long just to get a dollar raise at the end of the year. Just like working all year long to only to get a dollar raise at the end of it is not comfortable for her. That went deep. A lot of us, we're not happy about how much you're making. But that dollar sign, that paycheck, that salary should never identify who you are as a person. That's simply the value that your employee thinks you bring to the table. That's simply your employer's opinion of who they, of what they think you're worth. Now, we can huff and puff and holler and say, well, I think I deserve more. I should get paid more. And by right, you should. But the person to blame is not the employer. The person to blame is yourself. If you think you should make more, then you need to provide. You need to go and find opportunities. You need to create opportunities. You need to do something that will pay you more, at least what you think you're worth. Because everyone else's opinion of you will never match up to who your potential is and who you think you are. Now, some of us, we need to start that way. We need to start when we don't have a clue, when we don't have the skills, when we don't have the mindset, when we don't have the discipline. Yes, we need someone to lowball us and say, you know what? I'm going to give you minimum wage. He's going there. I'm going to give you this because honestly, the skills you have is not enough for me to say you deserve more. So I'm going to give you this. And when you're ready, when you've become strong enough, when you've developed the right mindset, the right skill set, when you decided this does not identify me, then it's your turn to go up and find something greater. get paid what you're worth by seeking out opportunities or by creating opportunities or by figuring out what you have to offer that people will pay you a lot of money for. Do that. That's how you start changing your identity financially. No one else can ever pay you what you're worth. It's up to you to take it. Same thing with the grade. No one else can test you and say, this is who you are. Even if you bomb it according to their, it is simply and always will be their interpretation of who you are. If you yourself, like the school, the way we're set up, even if you bomb every test, there's extra work. There's if you apply yourself and the extra added work, you can raise your grade to pass. And that says a lot more about your character than the test result you have. That says that no matter what, even when it hits the fan, you will get up and you will do whatever you have to do to survive, to make it, to become the best version of yourself, to seek excellence and be identified by that. My grade does not identify you. What you get paid by your employer does not identify you. What you live in, if the little shack you're in right now does not make you happy, if it doesn't make you whatever, don't blame the economy. Don't blame the fact there's not enough houses. Heck, get out of the city. Find another city where you can find the biggest house you can for a low price, or invest. Figure out a way how you can use OPM. And if you don't know what that is, then just don't go looking for it. I'm sorry. I didn't want to get on here and get on my soapbox and preach you. I'm tired of a lot of people limiting themselves because of the opinions of others. Because I lived that lie. I planned my whole life on what other people said and assumed that I was meant to do. And I was miserable. I mean, don't get me wrong. I did good. I helped people. I had great adventures. And I'm more of a positive guy. I really did enjoy a lot of things, but it wasn't what I was created to do. I was just doing it simply because the audience I was seeking to please, the people whose opinion or... Sorry, those whose approval I was seeking said I had to do it this way. And I finally hit a time where I was miserable. I had to abuse substance to numb the fact that I wasn't happy doing at least good by others. Because I was not complete. I was not working towards what I was created or what I identified to do. I was confused. I was listening to the voices outside and I let them determine who I was and I acted accordingly. And oh, although I looked the part, I could play the part, I could perform beautifully. At the end of the day, when it was just God and me alone in my little apartment in another country, I would numb myself. Because I was miserable. Because I was not being me, true to me. I was not happy. Now, is this my happiness? Maybe not completely. But it's a freedom that I have because I've chosen to be here. I am seeking the way to make it happen, to somehow figure it out. I am doing my own version of the rite of passage, becoming the man by asking myself, living with myself, taking the risks that I used to take, but now for me, not for others. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't change the fact that I always give unto others. I always take care of my fellow man. If I can, if it's in my ability, I help those who I can help. But that no longer governs my decision making. Yeah, I probably lost a few people there in that one. So going back to the story of this professor who once told me, what's a grade? It is simply the opinion of what other people think you, of who other people think you are, or who the professor thinks you are. This same professor was also known for giving extremely hard exams. He would say something about, he goes, the hardest test there is out there is true and false, because it's a 50-50. The next one is multiple guess. That's what he called it. Multiple guess was the next hard one, because you have 1 in 4 chances. You had a 50% chance with the true and false. You had 1 in 4 chances to get it right with multiple guess. And then he goes, fill in the blanks were the next easiest, because at least that one you could give your example. But he goes, but the best way to test what you know is essay. Because there you can write down how well you know the material you need to know. It's up to you what you bring. I hated essays because I hated writing, having to write in the journals. But that's how he tested. And he gave us projects that took up a lot of time, and we had to get out there and do things. And I remember I was doing like half mediocre. I remember I was reading a book for my computer class, and I had to do a project for my computer class, creating a PowerPoint. This is before we knew what it was or how to do one. And I also, for this class, for my interpersonal communication class, I had to do, I had to read a self-help type of book or a book like that. And I remember I picked, I think John C. Maxwell's Leadership, one of the leaderships, because it had like steps on leadership, and it was like kind of like how to become a leader. So it was kind of like a self-help, but like that kind of stuff. And he let me get away with that book, but also use that same book to create a PowerPoint for my presentation that I did for the computer class. And so I killed 2 birds with 1 stone. That's Josafat. I'm trying to get the easy way. Do as little work. Do what you can to kind of do more kind of situation. But this same teacher, he gave us hard projects. I remember one project, I was supposed to create a survey and then go do a survey. Not wait till the last week. It's supposed to be like a month-long project. Not wait till the last week. And what I wound up doing is I just kind of parked my old 70. My grandpa had given us a 1971 Ford Ranger XL. I had fun driving that thing, but it looked like something that you found on the side of a road. I remember I picked 4 different roads. I picked a highway. I picked it was 3 different roads. One was like more of a road that only workers going on. Another one was like a smaller road and then a highway. And I parked on the side, put the hood up, and just kind of waited to see if anyone stopped to help. This is back before cell phones happened. And I was judging by how many people were willing to help. I call it the Good Samaritan Project. And I was judging by how many people would actually stop to talk to me. And I think at least in one road, I got nothing. Like the telephone road, I got nothing. But then like on, it's a highway, but not a busy highway between my hometown and Odessa. That's when I got the most hits. And then there was a freeway, Highway 20, that went through Odessa, Midland. And that was the busiest one. But like maybe 2 people one time stopped to help me out. But the most I got, and I kept asking the same questions, you know. How would you have helped me? How could you help me? And, you know, everyone get their results. It's like a survey. First of all, I put myself in the situation. It was very janky. I made my, I got out, gathered my limited information, and I did that. But, you know, I was thinking outside of the box, because I could have put a gender into the effect. Like, it was a dude. It was a dude in a truck who you'd think he knows how to at least handle himself, you know, stereotypically. And if I had, like, maybe asked a female friend to do that, to find herself parked on the side of the road, how much more traffic would have stopped to have helped her as opposed to help me? That would have made for a whole different kind of survey. But anyway, I didn't think that far ahead. I was just trying to do something to turn in a project to pass that class. Anyway, at the end of the semester, and one of my best friends had told me about this, that this guy was, he said, he's hard. Take him, he's hard. But at the end of the final exam, he gives you one question. And that question is, he asks you to grade yourself. And whatever grade you put, that's what he gives you for the whole semester. I'm like, oh, okay, walk in the park. So I did the projects, half-assed them, because I kind of knew I was going to use that scapegoat at the end. But something happened. Listening to him, learning about his mannerism, learning about the way he produced himself, and, of course, that question, what is a grade? It is simply the professor's opinion, who he thinks you are. It stuck with me. It haunted me that whole semester. And when I did the exam, when I came to the final exam, yes, it was like three essays, wrote them all, maybe a few multiple guess, no true and false, because he hated true and false. He truly hated true and false questions. And even worse, if it's false, you got to write down why it's false. Might as well just put them all true, because I didn't want to write anything extra off. Anyway, at the end, when I got to that question, at the end that I saw it, I knew it was coming, something had changed in me, in my heart. And I had a conscience that told me, Josafat, are you really going to put an A? Because my friend's like, yeah, I just like coasted his class at the end. I said A, and I got an A, easy A. And so I was like, I thought I was going to get away with the same thing. But whenever I sat there and I read that question, conviction hit me. And I had to ask myself, I had to search myself, Josafat, did you really bring your A game to this class this semester? Or did you just do enough because you knew you could do enough? Because you're a natural performer, of course you can get away with something with this kind of stuff easily. Did you really work hard like others? Did you apply it? Could you define what you brought as an A, or would you define it as? And so I answered honestly. And in my answer, I said, sincerely, honestly, I want to say I deserve an A. But truth be told, I know I didn't bring my A game this semester. If I get a B+, I would be more than happy with that. He gave me a B+. And I was happy. I was happy because I earned that B+, because that's what I brought to the table. You see, at that point, I defined who I was. I defined myself as a B+, because that's what I brought to that table. So that's what I could identify with in that subject matter. I'm not a B+. I'm a rock star. You know this. And there are certain things in life that you're just going to have to say, this is hard. But I don't have to settle for the results, or at least I don't have to identify myself with whatever results it is, because I know that here I've done the work, and I am an A+ person here. I'm an A+ person there. And I don't care what the grade says. I don't care what standardized testing says. I don't care what they identify me as. I know that I am greater than that because I did the work. That attitude adjustment, that change, same thing with the money mindset. I know that the bank statement says red. I know that the bills say due. I know this is happening, and I know that maybe this job that I'm doing is only paying me this much, but this is not me. This is my temporary situations. This is where I'm right now. But now that I have reprogrammed my mind, rechanged I've developed the right mindset, I am focused to get something greater and be gone with this past limited mindset. I am now a person of abundance. I will work hard. My heart says I need to. I am this, and I will work like I am this. Because not working like I am this has only brought me this. What wakes you up in the morning? If it's the alarm clock, then you need to recalibrate your life. But if it's the fact that you are living a life that you can be proud of, if you have that family that you love and are so proud of. If you have some, if you created something that you can say, this is my legacy and I'm proud of this, and that's what wakes you up in the morning, that's what gets you out of the bed in the morning, then congratulations. You don't have to be a bajillionaire. You don't have to be richer than Bezos. Sometimes you just have to be rich in heart, rich in mind, because you have hit a status where you are no longer worried about money because you're happy. You're about your purpose. What is a grade? Well, a grade is an opinion, someone else's opinion. But what is the opinion you have of yourself? Are you living up to that grade? Are you bringing that which is needed to make the grade that you desire for yourself? Are you seeking out the help that you need? Are you seeking out the knowledge that you need? Are you doing everything in your capable hands to make what you want to make, to do what you want to do? Don't wait for others to give you the A+. Don't wait for others to give you the high mark. You do that right now. Write your name down and say, hey, I'm an A+ person. I am a rock star. I am the rock star of my life, of my industry, of wherever I go, I will be the rock star. Failure does not define you. A failing grade does not define you. The loss of money does not define you. A broken relationship definitely should not define you. My friends, dear family, fellow rock stars, let's get out of that mindset. Because if a good grade is the only thing you have to look forward to, what do you do once you get it? And no. That shouldn't be enough to drive you. You need to have a sense of purpose. You need to have something that you can sacrifice for and be okay. Anyway, that has been episode 65. What is a grade? Don't ever let someone else's opinion of who you are identify you. Pray, meditate, experiment, figure out who you are, and then only then can you decide how to identify yourself. And listen to that opinion and be the best darn you were created to do. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this was Hey Rockstar coming to you all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. I am your host, Josafat Emiliano, and this cute little guy is my sidekick known as Miguel. It's Miguel. Thank you for letting us into your homes. Thank you for letting us into your cars. Thank you for letting us into your heart. And until next time, much love and many blessings. Hey, you made it to the end of the episode. Look at you accomplishing things. Like the podcast? Then try catching us live next time. For now, the Hey Rockstar live stream is aired every Thursday. Hey Rockstar is affiliated with Low Budget Productions. Go to Facebook, like and follow LBP's page to learn more about the other amazing podcast under their umbrella. The energetic rock background music is by Anwar Amar, also known as Music Today 80. Josafat Emiliano is a keynote speaker and mentor. To connect and invite him for your next event, go go to his Instagram and direct message him at Josafat Emiliano. That is JOSAFATEMILIANO. So take the big five and go live life
as a rock star.